Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to watch and listen today. I'm joined by the Minister for Health and Social Care, David Ashford MHK, and our Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart. On the world stage, it has been a truly monumental week, or I should say monumental week, in our battle against this pandemic, with the United Kingdom becoming the first country to begin the rollout of a mass vaccination programme to combat COVID-19 virus. This is the beginning of our fight back. The vaccination will protect people against a disease that has claimed the lives of over 1.5 million people, 25 of them here on the Isle of Man. On Tuesday morning at 6:31 a.m. at University Hospital in Coventry, 90-year-old Margaret Keenan was the first person to receive the Pfizer COVID-19 jab as part of a mass vaccination programme. Mrs. Keenan received a guard of honour and rapturous applause from NHS workers after the vaccine had been administered. It was a moment we have spent this whole year longing for. Turning 91 next week, Mrs. Keenan referred to her vaccination as an early birthday present. For all of us, it was an early Christmas present and a beacon of hope at the end of a dark and difficult year. Like so many pivotal moments in human history, this one small step will come to signify a giant leap. First and foremost, this vaccination programme is about saving lives, but it will also enable us to restore our way of life. The Herculean task ahead of us to vaccinate en masse will lay the foundations for our return to normality. In time, the vaccination programme will allow the measures that have slowed the spread of the virus and saved lives put in place around the globe to be relaxed and finally removed. We will never know how many lives have been saved by these difficult but necessary measures, but saved lives they have. Here in the Isle of Man, work is well underway on preparing for our vaccination programme. We must bear in mind that this is a complex logistical exercise, especially given the nature of the Pfizer vaccine. Until a few weeks ago, no one was certain which of the several vaccines in the advanced stages of development would be the first to receive regulatory approval. Given the differences between the vaccines being developed, particularly in relation to transport, storage, and the impact of these factors have on plans to get jabs in arms, planning and making detailed preparations has been difficult. The Pfizer vaccine has to be stored and transported at minus 70 degrees centigrade using dry ice. The vaccine comes in batches of just under 1,000, and the vials contain multiple, not single doses, with each individual dose having to be removed and then diluted, ready to be administered. It requires delicate and proper preparation to ensure the vaccine remains effective. Each batch in its entirety must be thawed at the same time. Then there is a 5-day window in which the thawed vaccines must be used. They cannot be refrozen. The vaccine is coming on stream gradually as production continues, and Pfizer have acknowledged delays in the manufacturing which have impacted on delivery to the United Kingdom. With two doses required at least 21 days apart for the vaccine to be effective, we must factor into our planning and have certainty that we will have adequate supply to administer the second dose in the required timescale. This, I hope, gives you a flavour of some of the logistical challenges and complexities being considered by the team tasked with rolling out this programme here in the Isle of Man. They are working round the clock and doing a tremendous job. So, what timescales are we looking at? Ideally, we would like to begin vaccinating this side of Christmas. But I must emphasise that we must have certainty around availability schedules before we can start. There is currently some uncertainty around these, and I'll bring in David to talk a little bit more about our plans and thinking on this. David.
Thank you, Chief Minister. At the moment, to give us an update, our plans are that the first tray of vaccine should arrive on the island next week. So that would be 975 vaccines. We would then look to start our rollout, as has been mentioned before, with nursing homes and frontline healthcare staff the following week, commencing Monday, the 21st of December. As the Chief Minister has just said, one of the important things is ensuring that we have consistent supply because of the need to administer the dose on day 21. So we will always make sure that whatever the level of vaccines on Ireland, we have that ability to deliver that second dose. The logistics around this are actually massive, and we've been working very hard to make sure that those logistics are in place. But as things currently stand, we expect the vaccine to be in the island next week, and then from there, the following week, to start administering our programme and then start gearing up from January onwards. Thank you, Chief Minister.
OK, thank you very much, David, for that very encouraging news. And if things go to plan, the start of vaccinations will be a Christmas present to our whole community and we can all rejoice in. The silver bullet is ready, locked and loaded. Pulling the trigger and launching that fight back is, I hope, only a matter of days away. The vaccine has been through vigorous and rigorous trials, evaluations and finally regulatory approval. Whilst the United Kingdom was the first to approve the vaccine, Canada has quickly followed suit, and approval in the United States is expected imminently following recommendation for approval by the US Food and Drug Administration. The vaccine is effective at up to 95% and it is safe, but as its rollout continues, we learn more. This week, guidance has been issued on those with a history of severe allergies. Henrietta, I know you want to say a few words on this topic.
Yes, thank you, Chief Minister. Yes, as Chief Minister has just said, there were two incidents last week of healthcare staff who were given the vaccine and suffered anaphylactoid reactions. So that wasn't true anaphylaxis, as I understand the reports. It was symptoms related to that, so rashes, facial swelling, airway obstruction. Serious enough, but not the full anaphylaxis. Both the individuals concerned were known to have a history of allergy and both had been issued with EpiPens. As a result of that, those incidents, the Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Agency convened an expert panel literally at the close of the day on which that happened, which was Wednesday, and guidance was issued overnight and was ready on Thursday morning. So the guidance for using the vaccine has been updated and now makes it very clear that anybody who has a history of an immediate anaphylaxis reaction to a vaccine, a drug or food should not receive the vaccine. And also, where vaccines are being administered, there should be arrangements in place to monitor people for a short time after they've received the vaccine, and that equipment should be in place to do immediate resuscitation should that be needed. So I think anybody who is concerned about that needs to speak to their doctor, or when they go forward for a vaccine, when they are called for vaccine and have their appointment, make sure they voice any concerns to the healthcare practitioner that they see there. But it is only those people who have a history of anaphylaxis to a vaccine, food or drugs in whom the vaccine is contraindicated.
Right, thank you very much, Henrietta. And our public team, health team, continues to monitor developments closely. Our COVID website has been updated with details of the vaccination programme, and this will continue to be populated as details are finalised. And if you visit gov.im/COVID, you will find the details. Before moving on to questions from representatives of the media, I wanted to touch upon the ongoing trade talks between the United Kingdom and the European Union. Brexit has very much seemed like the sideshow this year as attention turned to the pandemic. Despite the continuing global crisis, the transition period we have been in since the United Kingdom left the European Union at the end of January will cease on the 31st of December and things will change on the 1st of January. There are changes that will happen regardless of whether there is a deal or not. To what extent they will change is still not clear. As you will have seen across the media, the signs coming from London and Brussels are that significant gaps remain in negotiating a trade deal that both parties can agree to. A new deadline of this Sunday has been agreed for progress to be made. We are in close touch with colleagues in the UK government and the other Crown dependencies, and will continue to do so over this weekend and beyond if necessary. The Isle of Man is prepared for any eventuality. I will, of course, keep you updated on developments and what any outcomes mean for our island. In the meantime, please remember that if you trade with the EU, visit the EU, or come from the EU, regardless of whether there is a deal or not, there may be changes that affect you. There is a lot of useful information about the Are You Ready for 2021 campaign at gov.im/Brexit. And now to questions from the media. And first we have Paul Moulton from Isle of Man Television. Paul,
thank you very
good
much.
Afternoon, Fasta Mai.
Good afternoon. And this is, I think, really for David. I just want a clarification what he said there. Did you use the word, Mr. Ashford, hopefully getting the vaccine next week or definitely getting the vaccine? Can we clarify? Is this still waiting for final sign-off from someone in the United Kingdom to send it over?
Yeah, as the Chief Minister said, the UK didn't receive the amount of vaccine it was expecting in their initial order. The initial order they were expecting into the UK was 800,000 doses. It was substantially lower than that. But we are hopeful that the first tray of vaccine will arrive on Ireland next week. But obviously we are subject to the supplies being available to transfer to Ireland.
And you're going to announce where the hub is, are you not? Because it's going to be a central location. So where will people go to get vaccinated when it does arrive?
There is still a couple of things to be sorted out on that. We need to inform the staff first, so we're not quite ready to announce that today. We do have a central location that we will be looking to use, but we will be announcing that very, very shortly. But we need to inform and speak to the staff, who will obviously be undertaking the vaccinations first.
Okay, my second question is really to do with the ongoing situation with Dr. Glover. Can you confirm that any company equipment of Rachel Glover's is being used, software or intellectual property? Is any of that still being used, which really is her stuff to take or whatever she wants to do? Because I think we need to clear this up. I'm still quite concerned. I think some people are like, what's going on there?
Well, as far as I'm aware, Paul, there is no ongoing situation with Dr. Glover. I believe she's removed her equipment from the lab, as far as I'm aware, and I don't believe we're using anything that is actually hers. Again, it's a good opportunity for me to put on record. I'd like to thank Dr. Glover for all the hard work she's done. She's worked exceptionally hard to ensure that we can have the testing centre in place along with the rest of the team. And it's been a real team effort that has delivered us a testing centre that, to be frank, is probably the envy of the world in the way we've been doing testing in the Isle of Man and able to deliver that. But as far as I'm aware, we're not using any of her equipment or any of her stuff any further.
Okay, and you are happy with the situation with testing in the Isle of Man? We are getting still a gold standard test here and in a fast turnaround.
Yeah, it is business as usual. Nothing has changed, neither has the timings of the results coming back or the way the results are being undertaken.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Paul. I think it's worth pointing out that we have an exceptionally good team who have delivered 100% results in the time that they've been allocated to do the testing and get that information back. I think the UK is working at about 87%, so we can be really proud of our whole team working on our testing and tracing setup. Now I move on to Simon Richardson at Business 365. Good afternoon, Simon. Fasta Mai.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question relates to an announcement today from the UK government that the self-isolation requirement is being changed from 2 weeks to 10 days based on the latest sort of medical evidence. Now, is that likely to be reciprocated in the Isle of Man? And experts are saying that people are most infectious around the time they first develop the symptoms, and by day 10, only about 2% will still be capable of passing the virus on.
Right, well, thanks for that, Simon. And we are aware of the announcement today that the United Kingdom is reducing the period of self-isolation from 14 to 10 days, and we're already in the advanced stages of considering a similar move in the new year. We're likely to work in conjunction with testing. So 14 days of isolation has been the gold standard. It provides a 99% probability that people released from isolation will not carry the vaccine. Day 10 provides 98%. Now, in the United Kingdom, where infection rates are high, this 1% difference is negligible. Here, with only 1% active case and no community spread, the potential impact is greater, and we are loath to deviate from the gold standard this close to Christmas. But please be assured that this is something the Council of Ministers has already asked to be worked up, and I will give you more detail on what we propose to do early in the new year.
Thank you. My second question, I'd like to return to a theme from last week. You said that government wasn't thinking of providing certification for people who are given the vaccine. However, given the likelihood of the UK failing to strike a deal with the EU, as now seems pretty much inevitable, this might cause major problems for people travelling into European countries next year. Now, would it be feasible to offer proof of vaccine certification, even if people have to make a small payment to cover the administration costs?
Well, we're certainly looking at it, Simon, but I think at this moment in time, as we've said in previous briefings, we do not know yet, nobody knows, if you still carry the virus when you've been vaccinated. So we don't know if you go on holiday and you've been vaccinated and you hand over your bit of paper, whether or not you're still carrying the virus, it won't get you, but you could pass it on to somebody, or whether you cannot carry it. So really, until that information is known, I can't give you a concrete answer on what we're going to do. But obviously, we're closely monitoring the situation. And when that detail becomes available, of course, we'll take action. I don't know, David, is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, if I could, Chief Minister, just to say, Simon, when we answered that last week, what we were referring to was around whether people would be able to have less restrictions if they'd been vaccinated. And one of the things that was pointed out is at this point, the science doesn't say that if you're vaccinated, you won't catch COVID-19 or you can't transmit it onto other people. So from that point of view, we wouldn't be issuing vaccinating certificates or saying to allow people, say, to have no isolation or to do other things if they travelled into the island. In relation to what other countries do, if countries start going down the route of actually saying, well, in order to get into our country, you've got to prove you're vaccinated, that's a bit like now where you have some countries where you have to show a negative COVID test, possibly up to 3 days before you travel. And then we could look at things like that around that if it became a travel requirement. But they're two very different things. There's the idea of having a certificate that says if you've been vaccinated, you can go around your business as normal. And then there's the idea of a certificate if you need to travel. And they need to be looked at in the context that they both are.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon. And now we move on to Tim Glover from Manx Radio. Good afternoon, Tim. Fastamai.
Fastamai, if I can start with teachers, and we're hearing more and more that teachers are going away back across for the 2 week period and are going to be self isolating when they return, and there's going to be a lot more remote learning. Are you concerned that the first 2 weeks of the new year term could be disrupted somewhat?
Well, I know the secondary schools especially have been very concerned about the number of teachers that have no family on the island. They have made a decision themselves as the head teachers to allow some teachers, not all the teachers, to go away. And I have every confidence that they will have factored in to their decision that they will have, you know, other colleagues to help cope for the short period of time that people will be in isolation and unable to work. Now, I would point out that if you look at the Isle of Man and our education, I've been at a number of carol services in schools where the head teachers have said to me, you know, we're probably the only island place in Europe possibly where there has been no disruption in the last term to our young people's education. So I think even if there were to be a small amount of disruption in some of the schools, I think given the situation we find ourselves in, then our young people have a significant advantage over their UK counterparts.
Can I just a further question on that? And that is that they're quoting to us that they're doing this for their own good of mental health. And it's similar to people who are wanting to join up as families. Mental health is a growing topic, it would appear.
Yes, mental health is a big worry. And I think sadly, the amount of suicides, for example, throughout the United Kingdom and here on the island is above average. So it's something I've mentioned time and time again that we are very concerned about. And that's why I personally am so delighted that we now see the vaccines coming out, and this month we will be starting them. It will enable us to get back to a normal life across the whole of the world, and the sooner for all of us, the better. And obviously, from a mental health point of view, it's incredibly important. I've said time and time again in previous briefings that there are unseen scars out there in society that we've yet to learn about, and I think an increase in mental health issues in the community will be one of them.
You've teed up my second question perfectly there with unseen scars. And I want to combine the COVID-19 pandemic and Brexit, if I may, in that we know there's going to be a rolling on economic impact from the COVID-19 pandemic. And we know that there will be consequences in terms of higher food prices if we have a no deal. I'm particularly concerned, and people are getting in touch about the lower paid who may have lost a job and then are going to face higher food prices. Do you see a bit of a crisis coming from the two big topics of the year joining together in the new year, Brexit and the COVID-19 pandemic and the economic impact?
Well, obviously, COVID has had an economic impact. A couple of hundred million probably for the Isle of Man, which is very small, you could argue, compared with other jurisdictions who have had it for a lot longer. Some food will not go up. It's food that has to be imported from the European Union, where if tariffs are put on it, if there's a no deal, then obviously the price will go up. So it's something, of course, we're monitoring. I know Treasury and their social security side of things will be taking this into account. But at this moment in, we just do not know the impact from a Brexit, because we don't know whether there's going to be a deal or a no deal. Obviously, if there is a deal, then there won't be tariffs on food products coming from the European Union, and therefore that shouldn't see a big increase in food prices. But equally, if there isn't a deal and you see a reduction in the price of the value of sterling and the tariff, and we still need those products coming in from the European Union, obviously they may have to be sourced from elsewhere if they're too prohibitive. But these are factors that we are monitoring as a Council of Ministers, and we will take into account.
Are you surprised that this has rolled on for so long? Because we as the media were gathered a couple of weeks ago to a briefing, and we were told what to expect later that week. And of course, here we are and none of that's happened.
Yes, I suppose this time last week, Tim, I was cautiously optimistic that a deal would be done. That was all the mood music, both publicly and behind the scenes. However, certain things weren't agreed that people had thought would be agreed, and we find ourselves in the position we are. And, you know, from day one, I've always taken the attitude, I think I've quoted Civis Pacem Parabellum, which is above the First Sea Lord's desk, office, if you want peace, prepare for war. And on the island, we've prepared for a no deal. And then if there is a deal, then that's makes our lives a little bit easier. Thank you very much, Tim. We now move on to Helen McKenna from Isle of Man Newspapers. So welcome to your first briefing, Helen, on behalf of Isle of Man Newspapers.
Thank you very much, Chief Minister. Good afternoon. Firstly, can you tell me which care home will be the first to receive the vaccine?
Right. I don't have that information. I don't know if the Health Minister can help you there, Helen.
We do have two care homes that have actually signed up, ready to go with the first tranche, but we're not willing to name them at this point in time. That will be for the care homes themselves. They need to communicate, obviously, with the residents and also with the residents' wider families, so we're not in a position at this point in time to name the homes.
That's OK. Also, how are the vaccines arriving here? Is it by flight or by boat?
So my understanding is it will be by flight.
Yeah, they can't be too rocky, I'm afraid, and I think flight will be the smoothest way of transporting them for the time being anyway. This the Pfizer ones, or the other ones, will be much easier to transport. Thank you very much, Helen.
Sorry, I just got one more question, if that's OK. How has government prepared for any bad reactions to the vaccine?
In terms of that, I'll hand over to the Director of Public Health, if I may.
Yes, we covered that earlier when we talked about the two healthcare workers who had a known history of allergy and were EpiPen carriers. So the safety profile for allergic reactions is actually very good, and serious reactions were not found in the 23,000 people who had the vaccine in the trial. So this is unusual, and as often happens, by chance, you can get two very rare events clustered together, which makes them seem very significant. And whilst they are significant, we have to put them in the context not only of the 23,000 odd who received the vaccine in the trials without any severe allergic issues, but also the thousands of other people who have now received the vaccine as part of the initial rollout across. So the precautions, as I said, the MHRA, the licensing body who has issued the emergency authorisation for the use of these vaccines, convened an expert panel on Wednesday, late afternoon, evening, to look at what had happened. And they issued the guidance that people with a history of immediate anaphylaxis to a vaccine, a drug or a food should not have the vaccine. And indeed that everybody having the vaccine should have, well, everywhere offering the vaccine should have the facilities to hold on to and monitor everybody who's had the vaccine, because you would normally see a severe anaphylactic or other allergic anaphylactoid response within 15 minutes of receiving the vaccine. So it's not something that's going to happen to you 2 days later. The other side effects, you know, the sore arm, the sore muscles, yes, that can be a longer term issue, but not the allergic type reactions. And also, as I said before, the vaccination centres will be required to have the equipment to resuscitate anybody who's had an anaphylactic reaction. And also the staff will be trained to administer that care.
OK, thank you very much. And I hope that reassures everyone out there. Right, next we have is Alex Bell from BBC Isle of Man. Good afternoon, Alex Fastamai.
Good afternoon. Mr. Quayle, thousands of people have already been vaccinated in the UK. That number will increase 1,000 by 1,000. Why do we not already have the vaccine? What's the issue in the supply chain? And just where in the NHS pecking order is the Isle of Man?
Well, we're in the same pecking order, obviously, as our colleagues in the Crown dependencies. The UK, as we've said, have received less than they'd thought. We need to make sure that we have the guarantees in place from them that we will get our second round of the vials that we need within the time frame of the 21 days, because we need to ensure that this process is carried out properly. So once we've received those assurances from the United Kingdom, then we will be able to start. But we've got everything ready to go, and it's just a small technicality, but a very small, important technicality that we get this right. We don't have it in the community, so we're at a much better advantage than the United Kingdom, and we want to make sure that the rollout of the vaccine on the Isle of Man is done properly. The last thing we would want is to vaccinate just shy of 1,000 people and then find out that due to supply problems, we don't get our next amount of vaccines within the permitted time that we need to be able to give it to the people who've had their first dose. So it's purely a precaution to ensure we get this right.
I do understand, though, Jersey and Guernsey already have doses of the vaccine.
Right, I can't comment on that. I don't know, Henrietta, if you have any knowledge, or David. Do you want to come in, David?
Yes, I believe in relation to Jersey they have. I'm not sure about Guernsey. I believe Jersey has received their first tray. As I say, we expect to receive our first tray next week. And just to put it into context, Alex, you mentioned there about thousands having been done in the UK. That's thousands out of a population of 60 million plus. When we receive our first tray, which we, like I say, we are very confident, as confident as we can be, that will be next week, that is 975 doses out of a population of 86,000.
And a second question, do you have a range of dates, perhaps the earliest to the latest, as to when you see the majority of the population of the Isle of Man being vaccinated?
Yeah, I thought I'd covered this before, but just in case I haven't, we expect the vaccination programme, the majority of it, to run between now and September. That is where the orders will go through, exactly the same timescale as the UK.
So that's fully vaccinated by next September, you believe?
Of the age groups currently announced, the plan is by September, the end of September next year. But obviously, again, that depends upon the UK getting the supplies in that they're expecting to get in, because we get a portion of that.
And just in terms of the age groups currently announced, they are.
So the age groups currently are obviously care homes, then frontline staff. There is also those within the vulnerable category as well who have underlying health conditions. And then age-wise, it's everything 50 and above.
Thank you.
OK, thank you very much, Alex, for that. And last but not least, Leanne Cook from 3FM. Good afternoon, Leanne. Fastamai.
Good afternoon. My first question, you touched upon it briefly before, but I'm just wondering if you could elaborate on the impact the outcome of the trade talks between the UK and the EU could have on vaccine supplies from January the 1st next year.
I'm not aware of problems with getting the vaccines in, even if there is a no deal for Brexit. I know the NHS UK have been working hard to ensure that that isn't a scenario that happens. I don't know if there's anything, David, you would like to expand on that.
Yeah, my understandings from the conversations we've had with the Department of Health and Social Care in the UK is that they have contingency plans. The vaccines are coming from the factory in Belgium. It's not so much an issue around them being able to come into the UK. There's a worry that if there is any form of backlog, then how would they actually get the vaccines in. I know there has been talks, I believe, with the Ministry of Defence around potentially using Ministry of Defence flights to bring them in if necessary.
OK, and my second question, I've asked this before, but I'm wondering if any further thought has been given. How will the government plan to approach those who simply don't want to get vaccinated?
Right, well, as I understand it, we're not forcing people to be vaccinated. The reliability is 95% on the Pfizer vaccination. The tests, and it's been cleared as a safe vaccine. If people wish not to get vaccinated, then I don't see this administration forcing them to be vaccinated. That said, it may well be that if it's proven that you cannot infect people when you've been vaccinated, you may not be allowed to travel into other jurisdictions if you take that choice that you're not prepared to be vaccinated. David, is there...
Okay. Yeah, just to say, just to reinforce what the Chief Minister said there, there is no plans to have compulsory vaccination. I think I've aired my personal views numerous times around this, that I don't believe in compulsory vaccination. What I would hope is, as people see the rollout, even those that might have concerns now, they will actually see the benefit of it, and actually a good chance to dismiss all the fake news that is going around social media at the moment in relation to vaccines. So we would encourage people to have the vaccines. Catherine, when she was with us last week's briefing, gave the what she called the elderly mother test, where she said she would recommend her elderly mother to have it. Equally, I said the personal test, from my point of view, I'm not in the 50 or above age groups, but if I was offered the vaccine, I would take it.
So just to clarify, for those who don't wish to get the vaccine, there could be ramifications, for example, travel restrictions.
That's down, obviously, to other countries around the world and what they decide they want to do. Simon, in his question, raised the point that some countries potentially might look at vaccination certificates for travel. Qantas, I believe, in the last couple of weeks, announced that that might be a condition of carriage for their airline. So there could well be ramifications. But again, it's down to individual choice, and people have to make the choice that they believe is right for them.
OK, thank you.
Thank you very much, Leanne, and thank you all for those questions. This week, we have seen one new case of COVID-19 detected, a key worker already in isolation. Our total number of active cases consists of that one individual. As we approach the finish line for 2020, each of you will undoubtedly look back at this year with elements of sorrow, frustration, and disbelief. But you must also look back with pride. What we have achieved is truly remarkable. There is no denying that it has come at a cost, but the position in which we find ourselves compared to each of our immediate neighbours and countries around the world is extraordinary. Make no mistake that this is down to each of you acting responsibly and acting together as one community. Your actions, your determination, your sense of duty, and your community spirit have saved lives and safeguarded livelihoods. 2 weeks today, we will be able to celebrate Christmas without the dilemma of choosing who to form a bubble with. No household visiting restrictions, no masks, and having enjoyed a build-up to Christmas with celebrations and gatherings that so many others around the globe have been denied. I know our border restrictions mean that for some of you, it may not be exactly the Christmas you would have wished for. But I hope you will agree that it is better than we dared to hope for just a few months ago. That's all for today. Thank you all very much. Bye-bye.